And welcome to a very special interview with a very special man, the Bay Area's own fifth generation Mardi Gras Indian, Henry Clement, the Big Chief Takawaka. He's here in studio with us today. Welcome back to KZSU, Henry.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot, Deborah. Man, I'm here trying to make this thing happen.
Well, yeah, what's happening is it's right in the middle of Mardi Gras right now. And I say the middle because Mardi Gras is a two-week celebration. A lot of people think it's just on that one day on Fat Tuesday. Fat Tuesday is coming up this Tuesday. And you've got a pretty heavy schedule this weekend. You played last night. You have a private party you're doing today that we won't mention about. But then you're playing the premier spot in what I consider to be the Bay Area jazz and blues scene. You're playing Fat Tuesday Mardi Gras night at Yoshi's in Oakland with your entire and an orchestra, because it's well over 10 to 15 pieces, and you're going to be doing the Mardi Gras parade inside Yoshi's as well, aren't you?
That's it. We're going to do the whole thing right there. We're going to do the whole thing.
Have you been there before for Mardi Gras?
Oh, not for Mardi Gras. I was there some time ago, back in the days when Yoshi's was...
In the other building.
Right.
The smaller building.
Right.
So this will be a first in the new building for Henry Clement, and it's Henry Clement and the Gumbo Band. He's otherwise known as Big Chief Takawaka, and we're going to be playing from the full spectrum of all the CDs you put out over the years. Well, there's probably more I don't have, but I got four in front of me. We just played Trojan Walla. And I'd like you to speak on that, because you got a great story about that song that goes back to when you were in college. That's when it was cut.
That's
right. Talk about that song.
Well, Trojan Walla, it's a dance that we brought out. And if you remember the Trojan horse and all that, how the warriors came out and did their thing and the fighting, and where we had the ladies to come out first and do that push thing, you know, pushing the arms out and doing what the walla, we call it. And that was back in the day, in the 50s. I would say approximately 1956, 57. I was down at Southern University, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, studying music and math and science.
And let's go back a little bit. How did your love of music and your love so much of music to become a musician and go to college and study it, where did that come from?
Well, I was approximately 5, 6 years old when I did my first thing. My cousin had a piano at his home on the front porch, the gallery.
All right.
And so when I went down, my mother took me there, and he said, come up here, little boy, and see if you can do a little something. And he showed me how to play Pine Top Boogie Woogie. That was my first song.
Wow.
And I learned how to do that thing, Pine Top Boogie Woogie, in about a half an hour or an hour. And he said that was extraordinary. So he told my mother, you better send that boy to music school. So,
she did.
Yeah. I started taking piano at about 6, 7 years old.
And you really started out in your musical career as a drummer. Where did your love of drums come from?
Well, after taking music from Miss Ennis, was my music teacher, all through elementary school. When I graduated from St. Teresa Catholic School, then we went to the public school, which was Ross High School.
That was like middle school and high school?
Right. Well, Ross High School started in ninth grade.
Okay.
When I got to Ross High School, then they... that was the first year they had a marching band, concert band, jazz band, whatever.
And you got in.
So what they did, they had everybody to come in and audition to see which instrument that you would be referred to. And they gave me a little test, a little rhythm test, and the director said, well, hey, you are automatically a drummer. And he just pushed me right in the drum squad. And that's
wow.
when I became a drummer.
Wow.
You see, back in those days.
And the piano went on the
and
back
burner. And the piano, yeah, well, I was in high school then, so it was music practice in the afternoon. We did it from kink to kink.
Kink to kink?
Kink to kink.
What's kink to kink?
When you can't see in the morning, that's when you start practicing.
Until
in
you
the
can't
afternoon,
see
when it got dark, you couldn't see at night, man. So it was from kink to kink that we practiced, you know?
They call him Big Chief Takawaka. His name is Henry Clement. He's got the Gumbo Band. And like I just mentioned, he's going to be at Yoshi's this coming Tuesday for Mardi Gras. If you got any sense, you will be at Yoshi's for Fat Tuesday Mardi Gras. And nothing like it. 8 o'clock show. One show that night, not two.
One time around, because two times is, you know, we be dragging it the second run. But the first time, we're going to do it right the first time. So you catch the lead thing, I mean, we come on out.
Yeah, and when they have the Mardi Gras parades down in New Orleans, down in Louisiana, all over Louisiana, they don't do it twice.
No,
they just
man,
do your parade
man.
One time.
That's it.
You send your spy boys out.
Send them out.
Your big chief comes, and the posse's right behind him.
That's right.
And then you're done. You don't go back and repeat it.
Why repeat, man? It's Big Chief Takawaka, the Swamp Doctor, Boudin and Sasha's man.
And right now we're playing from the Henry Clement from the 50s to the 60s. This is a look back CD that you put out yourself of the old stuff, some of the stuff that you were doing when you were younger, when you were in college.
Oh, yeah, way back in the days. I was in my teens.
Down in Crowley, Louisiana. And that means you were recording over there at the Excello Studios, right?
Correct.
You knew the man, didn't you?
Everybody came through. On the Chitlin circuit, if they came through Crowley, they stopped.
Yeah.
We did our thing.
And Jay Miller was running that studio, right?
Jay Miller was the man.
And that's the other thing I do want to get into just a little bit, but why don't we go ahead and touch on another one of these songs? Now, you've picked out a song called Please, Please, Darling.
Right.
Is this an original composition by
all
you?
All original. All my songs are original.
And set this song up a little bit.
Please, Please, Darling was selected. I was in college and at Southern University during that time. And... you know, a musician does things for the lady folks. You know, I'm a
sure.
I'm 100% man.
Right on.
So
man's man.
So
Boudin man.
Therefore, by being in a marching band, concert band, jazz band, rock band, ROTC band, whatever, I say, well, please, darling, I'm going to do this just for you, for the ladies.
Did it help?
Please, please, darling. It's what I had to come out and do, strictly for the lady folks.
Let's check it out right here.
Back in 1957.
This is it.
Yeah.
Sitting here with the big chief Takawaka, Henry Clement. That was him from the 1950s talking about that song, Please, Please, Darling. And all the CDs I have in front of me were cut down in Crowley, Louisiana. That's a legendary studio. And those are legendary times. And most of those people are passed away now. Speak a little bit about how that scene was back then. There was Jay Miller. He's recording all them heavy-duty Swamp Cats. He even had you play a little harmonica for Lightning Slim one time, didn't he? Because Lazy Lester didn't show up.
Well, Lazy wasn't in the picture then. It was
before Lazy.
Yeah, no, it was before Lazy.
Okay. But we've talked off mic about some of the cats that were coming through that scene, and you'd end up hanging with them, jamming with them. They'd be there all week long, and speak about some of those big names that you got to hang with and got to really lock arms with.
Well, we were very fortunate in the little town of Crowley, Louisiana. We call it the Little Apple.
Okay.
You know, the Big Apple is New York.
Yeah.
New York City.
Yeah.
So the Little Apple is Crowley, Louisiana, see. And what's so fortunate about Crowley, Louisiana is that it's located on I-10, where during that time it was Highway 90.
Okay.
So every big act came through Highway 90, which was the old Spanish Trail.
Oh, that was on their way to New Orleans.
On the way to New Orleans, all the way from California.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving out of L.A. or whatever, and Highway 90 came right on down through these major cities.
And I guess the last one they had been to would have been Houston, the last big city.
Houston, right. Houston, Lake Charles, then Crowley, because we had a very nice club in Crowley, a big, sizable club.
What was it called?
Called June's Pleasure House. A lot of pleasures were done there.
Who did you hang with? Some of them names
that was
you remember.
Way back in the days. Well, just about everybody who was about something stopped down. You know, Fats Domino, Jimmy McCracklin.
Oh,
you know, Bobby Bland, Joe Simon, even Ray Charles, Lil Esther. All those people came.
Johnny Otis.
Yeah, Johnny Otis. All those guys came.
Etta James.
Etta James, right when she was in her heyday.
Man,
very beautiful lady. You know, back in the heyday.
Sure.
And during that time, when the band would leave one city, probably that Sunday night, they'd all pack up and leave and then travel to the next city. So they would probably get to Crowley like that Monday or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But they had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday just to hang around. And during that time, segregation was in, so the motels and the hotels was not in operation.
So they stayed at people's houses.
Had to stay at people's houses. And my mother had an apartment building that was built by my brothers who was in the service and not in use because they were in service during wartime, and they sent the money home, and we built an apartment building.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of the guys stayed there, you know, the minister shows and all those kind of people, Richie King and his minister show, and we had a lot of good musicians.
So you got to hang with them.
I hung with all of them.
Oh, man.
And by me learning how to do the harmonica and all those instruments at a very early age, well, it was fascinating to them.
Oh, so, it must have had a tremendous impression on you.
So even though Ray, you know, come on, sit on over here and I'm going to show you how to do this thing, young man.
Wow.
Yeah, man, he showed me a few little licks. And we often wonder why his piano playing was different and sound different because he built the chords different.
Okay.
He built the chords in the low register.
Okay.
In the bass register up to the middle part of the piano, whereas most piano players would play at the high end.
Okay.
And if you listen to Ray Charles's piano playing, he doesn't play that much way back in the day.
Right.
He didn't play too much at the high end.
Yeah.
He played gave you the fat chords at the bottom.
Yeah, that dark low end.
And there you go, man. You got it.
We're talking to Henry Clement, the gumbo man with the gumbo band.
That's right.
The sausage man. He's going to be doing with the full band. And that band, as I saw a picture of it, that's about 15 or more pieces.
Well, they had
the
posse in there with us. You know, we have to have the posse.
You're right.
Posse.
Now, when you do the Mardi Gras parade, You do that as you come up to the stage. Do you encourage the audience to get up and march behind you, too?
Everybody that has the feeling, get on up. get your handkerchief out and whatever, and join the festivities.
So that's going to be okay on Tuesday night.
That's going to be fine.
Are you guys just going to come down that aisle one time and then do the show?
You don't need but one.
You're right.
Because if you do it twice, a lot of people won't make it, man. It's too much. One run.
Now, while we're on the Mardi Gras subject, what is the second line, Henry? Because I've heard a lot of different descriptions of it. Irma Thomas always talks about it. What is it? Explain the second line.
Well, according to my knowledge, you know, basically people, word of mouth, everything is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. So way back in the day when I was in New Orleans doing my practice teaching and going to school down at Booker T. Washington High School, that's where I taught school in New Orleans, mm-hmm. in the 50s. We did a lot of music because we had great boys like Alvin Batiste, Kid Jordan, and those guys.
You were your students?
Number one musicians. We all played together in Southern University Band.
Oh, okay.
And when we graduated, well, they went their separate ways, and we all would meet and still continue to do things.
Those are legends, man.
Our legendary players, man. Those guys were tremendously out of sight. Yeah. Well, anyway, according to tradition, when you go to the funeral, going to the church is when you play the music that is sentimental to the occasion.
The sanctified music.
Right, the church stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
Kneel My God to Thee and that kind of stuff. They play that. It's called the first line.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going into the church and you are very, very low key.
Right, you're going to bury this person.
That's right. Then coming out of the church, you're supposed to be enjoying the festivities of that person's soul going to heaven. So you get your handkerchief out and you wave to them as they ascend, as their soul is ascending.
And the music is a little more
lively
at that point.
And the music is lively because you're stepping out. So you go ahead on the step out and enjoy the festivity. So they use the second line when they do any kind of festive celebration. If you had a party, you say, let's do the second line. You're not going to ever do no first line at a party, man. So they do what is called a second line.
So that's it. So the definition of the second line is that's party music.
That's party music, right.
So and it's okay to get up and shake a tail feather.
Man, more than that. You know, you tail feather and the front one, too, if you have one. So you just do your due and enjoy. That's it.
Man, here you are that many years later. Did you ever have any inkling in your mind, man, that this many years later you'd still be doing it?
Well, I've had a lot of opportunities to get out there and just be a musician.
Mm-hmm.
But down through the years, what happened that when I graduated from school, I wanted to be a percussionist. I was, well, not bragging, but facts. I was the number one percussionist out of high school. Throughout my high school career, and the number one percussionist in the state of Louisiana in college and high school.
Hmm.
So I had a full music scholarship to be a percussionist in Southern University's band. So that's how I went to school. My mother and father didn't have no moolah. You see, I'm not talking about moolah, money to pay my way to college. So I had this full scholarship.
Wow.
And I wanted to be a percussionist because that was my major instrument.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have anybody to teach me. I guess I was an accelerated group. So I was almost self-teaching myself throughout my college career.
Wow.
Along with the other guys in the band. So they didn't have no percussionist to teach me so I could major in percussion. Now, I played a little tenor saxophone and a little alto and a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I still do that. You know, little vibes and a little piano and a little of all the instruments,
mm-hmm.
not too much of none. And what happened, see, when we got ready to choose, I had to make a choice out of the bands, going out and being a musician, road musician, or stay home and teach school. So now, of course, you know what Mama said.
Yeah.
You know, Mama said there will be days like this. There'll be days like this, you know. You choose something, you're going to get a check every month.
Yeah.
So you will get a check every month. Now, teaching, you might not make all the money in the world, but you will get a check every month. And, you know, she knew about the musicians coming through because we rented the house in the back.
Sure.
And they, 9 times out of 10, by the time they would get to Crowley, they were broke. Didn't have any money.
Hmm.
So we went through that transition. So one of the math teachers at that time was ill, so they called me, and I fought it and didn't want to go. I wanted to go to New York and join the guys, and she said, no, go do this. And I went and substituted for, supposed to have been for 1 week. It took me 12 years to get out.
And you finally made your way to the Bay Area. We want to talk about that in the next segment. But we want to get on some more with, a little bit more with some of this great music you brought today. Next, we're going to get into a CD called Louisiana Blues and Zydeco. And all this stuff that we're playing today was cut down in Crowley, Louisiana, Jay Miller Studio. We're going to start out with a, is it track number 3?
That's right.
And talk about that long, long road, track number 3. You want to set this up?
What's happening with Long, Long Road? After I moved to California, 1970, what happened with the movement? During the time of approximately when Sputnik went up, that was in 62, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The federal government got all excited and wanted to send back all the math and science teachers back to school. They gave us a stipend.
Oh, for scientists, to create more scientists for the moon race.
That's what happened.
Okay.
So I was a mathematician teaching high school mathematics. So every year we went somewhere. I went to the University of Illinois. I went to LSU. I went to University of California. Then I got a stipend to San Francisco University.
University of San Francisco. USF, yeah.
USF.
Okay.
And during that time, Dr. Foster came to Oakland, 1970.
Okay.
He and Billy Webster. Billy Webster was a homeboy of mine, and he knew me. So they came to the University of San Francisco and said, hey, we need some black math teachers. And so Billy knew me. So he said, man, you're going to have to come on down to Oakland because we want you to come on down, and we need you to follow through on this. And during that time, when you transferred from one teaching field to the next one or from one department or whatever, they only gave you 6 years of your experience.
Okay.
And I said, oh, that's not going to work because I had 12 years in Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
So playing the game, I say, hey, politician, you know, I knew the game of politics. I said, give me 13 years and I'll be here. Find me a place to stay. Get me an apartment. Find something close where my kid can go to school. And give me that $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 signature amount of money that you guys usually do in the credit union, and I might consider. When I got home, contract was in the mail.
Oh.
And what happened during that time, that's when they integrated the schools in 1970. So they closed my school, Ross High School.
Oh.
And then I was reassigned to Crowley High School. So rather than going to Crowley High School, here was this big contract, tripling my salary.
Whoa.
Because in Crowley it was approximately $8,000. So coming to California, it was almost triple. So I was close to 15 or 20.
Wow.
So you know what's happening.
You
know
go.
What time it is. I told the wife, hey, let's go try it. She said, oh, boy. And that was the key. Well, for about 2 weeks, she cried every day. Took us 3-4 weeks to pack up everything. I even took the barbecue, put the black barrel, put that in the back of the truck. Hillbillies didn't have nothing on us doing those things. And me and a couple of other, my friends, Jesse Gidrid, Joel Nero, and some of the others, we all decided we're going to come to California. That's
wow.
How we got here in 1970.
That's amazing. And started teaching right away?
Well, I had a contract.
Yeah.
See, I've always taught school. I was a weekend musician. I was never one to be a road musician going from city to city to city.
Mm-hmm.
I played with everybody that came through on Highway 90, the old Spanish Trail, who was about anything. Because we always had a nice band in Crowley. And everybody came through knew that. And during that time, most musicians traveled like 2-3 with a percussion section, and that's about it. Or maybe 1 or 2 with just a major guitar player and 1 or 2 other guys, and they always was looking for somebody else to play. And that's how I got to do it with just about everybody.
Henry Clement is the guest. It's the Gumbo Band. He's out of Oakland, and he's been telling his story right now. He's going to be at Yoshi's this Tuesday on Mardi Gras Day, Fat Tuesday. One show, 8 o'clock. You got to be there, folks. If you want to be somebody, don't be square. Don't miss this. Don't sleep on this. Now we're going to play The Long, Long Road by Henry Clement and the Gumbo Band.
It's a long, long road when you're traveling it all alone. Yes, Lord, have mercy. It's a long, long road when you're traveling it all alone. But I'm going back home, baby. Yes, I'm going where I belong. If I take California, if I love, I don't cry in Louisiana, baby. I'm gonna drive on Interstate 5, baby, through Hayward, California. Stop on Interstate 5, hit it and go dead to LA, Los Angeles, California. After that, baby, I'm gonna hit Interstate 10 all the way to Crowley, Louisiana. But first, I'm gonna stop in Los Angeles, make that phone call and say, hello, Jerry, Leroy Willis, and Furu, Mr. C. Sam. You know, got to give them a call. Then I'll be on that road to Phoenix, baby. Say hello to brother Eddie over there. I'm gonna give him a ring to drop a dime on the boy, you know. Then on my way to El Paso, that's halfway home. When I get to San Antonio, baby, I'm gonna call my boy, my frat brother, Herman, and give it. Hey, Shaq, on Bill Oka. Brother Stick Harmon live in Lake Charles. I'm a pass on the posse. Stop a little while, you know, kind of chapter. Driving from California to Louisiana, I knew I had only a few miles to go. Not too far now, baby. Driving from California to Louisiana, I knew I had only a few miles to go. Won't be long now, honey. When I heard that Creole beat on my auto radio, almost there now, baby. With that Louisiana Zydeco, baby. And oh, okay, party, pase, tres, dos, crales. That's my hometown. Okay, pase, Alicia. The place I'm gonna stop in town, so you know. That smell like good Creole cooking. Where I'm gonna eat some of that good catfish and that gumbo. Tres, la base. C'est la mon fond resté. Where my wife from, baby, you know, I'm gonna tell you. Get on home. And it won't be long now, baby. Get on. Put my foot in the tank. Hit the metal. Hit the metal with the pedal. Head on. Ba-da-ba. I'm going to dance tonight in a town called Lafayette. Get by la basse. Get bon la basse. Woo! I'm going to a dance tonight, Zydeco, baby, you know, in that town called Lafayette. And it's Jolie Bimé Lava. Ooh, that's Jolie. The Creole babes will be jumping, and I know I'm going to have a good time, you bet. buy me a mojo hand. When I get back to New Orleans, I'm gonna buy me a mojo hand. I'm gonna show all you women how you ought to treat your man. If you don't want me, mama, baby, be his man, don't you stone. Don't do it to me, baby. If you don't want my love, then baby, mama, don't you stone. Then a greyhound bus can haul. That's it, baby, I'm telling you.
Henry Clement and the Gumbo Band. You can catch them this coming Tuesday, Mardi Gras Day, at night, of course, 8 o'clock, one show at Yoshi's in Oakland. They're going to, and we're talking about a fifth generation Blackfeet Mardi Gras Indian here. This isn't just a great musician, singer, piano player, songwriter, drummer, father, son, brother, uncle, school teacher. He's not just those things. He's a true fifth-generation Blackfeet Mardi Gras Indian. Now, Henry, let's talk a little bit about you and that Mardi Gras Indian stuff. When did you find out about your Native American heritage?
Well, we did. It took some time about...
Were you in college, or was it later?
It was much later.
And how did that come about?
My brother and I, we and cousins... we decided we was going to look up the history of the Clement family.
Was this kind of like, did roots have anything to do with this? And I'm not being, you know, forgive the, but a lot of awareness came when Roots hit TV back in the 70s.
When Roots hit television, that's when it all came.
I hear you. I remember it.
Right. So what happened, we said, hey, let's go find out about our heritage.
Mm-hmm.
My first cousin came down to California. I was here.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother, and said, well, we're going to go to France. Because we were Frenchmen. Si parlais français, si je comprends. Si tu veux, si tu fais, parle moins de différence.
If you do, or
if you don't do it, don't make no difference. But anyway, we was going to find out about our roots. And she came out. Her name was Betty Jean, I think it was, or one of them. Anyway, she went to Reno to do a little gambling or to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And she had an asthma attack and died.
Oh.
But she had laid out all of the material. She had contacted some people back in England and France for us to go over, the three of us, and to find out about the family. And then she did have in her writings that we were fifth generation, and that Clement family was descendants of Baptiste out of England, France.
Wow.
And that's how it all started. So we began to kind of research a little bit.
And we were fourth,
fifth generation.
How did the Blackfeet fit in there?
Well, in that part of the country, you know, like you say, land of the red stick, the black sticks out of Baton Rouge and all that. So living in that part of the world, we just assumed that we must have been part of that heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of Brobridge, St. Martinville, which is totally French. No Iberia, where the Queen of England came through Elizabeth and settled in the French cultured land of Acadiana. See, that's why all of Catholicism was in that part of Louisiana, Crowley on around New Iberia. Those people spoke French. And my family was Frenchmen.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I was bilingual until I came to California.
Now there are some historical accounts that African Americans in that part of the country, when they had trouble with racism, were taken in by the Native American tribes.
That's correct.
And they were able to live a real life there with them, and the mixing started at that point. And that became a real kind of a gumbo mix. And a lot of people don't realize that part of the African-American tradition from down in Louisiana is a integral, interwoven part with the Native Americans. It's all kind of the same thing in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah, well, what happened way back in the slavery days, a lot of the blacks were runaway slaves, et cetera, mm-hmm. went down in the swamps
mm-hmm.
and mixed up with the Indians. And you got it right. And that's how the Indians came out, and mostly in New Orleans, because when they wanted to go to town, they had to dress up in, like we say, in costumes. So that's how they mixed with the Mardi Gras thing, and they dressed up in costumes so they would not be recognized. And did their thing, and after the sun would go down or whatever, and they finished partying around 11, 12 o'clock, then they went back to the swamps.
Uh-huh.
And the Indians protected them. So that's how we got all different names. Now, I got the name Big Chief Takawaka.
Yeah, where did
during
that
my
come
time.
From?
Yeah, well,
let's
came
find
when
out
I,
about that.
I have a son in New Orleans and a family there when I was in college, and down in Algiers. So by me playing music and doing my thing in Algiers, that which were part of the Mohawk hunters in Algiers.
Now, what is
so
the Mohawk hunters?
The Mohawk Indians, and their name, everybody got their names from some tribe or another. So,
okay.
So they were the Mohawk tribe, okay?
All right.
So I played a gig down there, and the city councilman, they gave me, you know, hey, we're going to give Henry this day his day.
Really?
And, yeah, they gave me a Henry Clement Day, and they gave me some recognition, and they gave me an award, and they said, well, we're going to call you Big Chief Takawaka. I said, well, Big Chief Takawaka, the swamp doctor, Boudin the sausage man. Love all pretty women much as I can. I can dance, I sing, I do a little bit of everything. I even suck it for my nookie, get my rocket free. And I tell all pretty ladies, if they didn't believe that at that time, come backstage and talk to me.
Wow.
Man, I was a bad man.
I bet you were. You talk to talk and you walk to walk. That's what they call you talk and walk.
That's right, because I talk that talk and walk that walk. And Keith Jones was number one guys. He was a junior Indian in white eagle, white feather, mohawk. So he was one of the leading guys out of New Orleans. Brian Clement was my son, and he always brought the guys together, see. And that's when they made their tribute to me. That was approximately in the 60s.
Now, a lot of folks listening to this right now have seen the new series on HBO, Tremé. And it was created to kind of bring awareness about what happened in New Orleans right after Katrina. And one of the main characters in Tremé is a African-American Indian chief. And he has to regroup his posse. And a lot of that is about him sewing up his costume to get ready for Mardi Gras. Tragically, in the series, the chief gets arrested by the local cops and they hold him in jail over Fat Tuesday and he can't make the parade. His crew does, his posse does. On TV, he's played by a great British actor. He's of African descent, but he's from England. He didn't come up in New Orleans or Louisiana. But you, I'm talking to you sitting right here right now, you come from the actual bloodline. You're one of the guys that was there, that still is here, doing it for real. Now, you've had a chance to do it here in Oakland since you've been living here, just for private parties and stuff like that. Have you ever had a chance to premiere this in a club like Yoshi's before out here on the West Coast?
Oh, we've really performed for many, many organizations.
Really?
Yeah, the Southern University alumni, the Omega Psi Phi, the Delta Sigma Theta, like all of the sororities and all of the other community people who had birthdays, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, so you've been doing this every Mardi Gras out here.
With Louisiana Sioux. We started doing this way back in the days. For all the festivals that around, we bring the big chief out. You know, uh-huh. The Mardi Gras festivals, the Sugar Cane festivals, the Gumbo festival, the Crawdad festival. The big chief came out last year down in upper part of California for the Crawdad festival.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, we did a thing, man. It was out of sight. So, we do our thing. We do our do.
Now, talk about that costume. Do you work on your costume?
Well, what happened, I would go to New Orleans every year, mm-hmm. and I would rent a costume.
Okay.
You see. But the guys in the city, they do not believe in letting their uniforms leave the city. They will not sell. They will not lend it to you. They will not do anything.
They're all handmade.
That's all handmade.
Yeah.
It really took a year for them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the Indians lived right behind my son's home. So I would always go by and talk to him, you know, and try to talk to the chief and say, look here, chief, I need this uniform to go to California. He said, no sell. He said, people come from all over the world. Want to buy these uniforms, he said, but we don't sell them. He said, we fix them up and do et cetera, et cetera. So for 3 or 4 years, I would go back and forth and go right to him and beg. And one year he said, look, I'll tell you what, Mardi Gras will be over at such and such a time. Come by and I might let you take this uniform. He said, I said, well, how much, you know, you might want for this? He said, it's priceless.
Sure.
He said, let me show you something. He showed me his fingertips. His fingertips were wore down at least a quarter of an inch on each finger.
Wow.
And I said, why you don't use thimbles? He said, we can't use thimbles because you have to feel what you're doing.
Wow.
And when you put your needle in, you have to feel that needle to pull it out, and you can't use thimbles. He said, you see how worn out my fingers are? And they were worn out down way below the nails.
Almost to the bone.
Right.
Wow.
So it really got to me, you know, it was very sentimental. And I said, well, look, I don't know. I took my American Express card and went and got X amount of dollars, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. And I said, here. And I bought the thing. He gave it to me. And he said, this is just enough for me to buy some more feathers and everything to redo it for next year. Because those plumes cost you $3, $4, $5 for one.
Mm-hmm.
And on a dress of that nature, you're talking about a couple hundred.
Yeah.
So you can imagine what it would cost.
It's a lot of money.
Plus the time involved, you see. So, and that's what happened with that. That's why we, so when I brought that uniform to California, he said, make sure that you don't tell anybody where it come from. He said, don't you ever bring it back. You make sure it never crossed the mountains anymore.
Wow.
So I took it over here, and I would take it down in Berkeley every year. And, that was a place, a party place, that did uniforms and did all kind of party paraphernalia. And I asked them to help me redo it when it would wear out, see. So the girl would do it, and I had to pay a couple $100, $200, $300. And I said, I could learn how to do this thing myself. So me and some of the band members got together, and I have two, three young ladies who knew how to sew and would come back to New Orleans, buy the feathers, and go back and do my uniform over. That's how I got mine going now. And so every year or every other year, I redo it.
Really? That's amazing. It. That's the real way, man.
One year is red, the next year is black, the next year it might be green and yellow. It depends upon the feeling.
What's it look like this year?
Well, I got a little green and white in it.
Okay.
And the green is for being so pure. And the white is to follow. That's it, man.
That is the Mardi Gras tradition right there. You're hearing it on KZSU with the Big Chief Takawaka, Mr. Henry Clement, with the Gumbo Band. They're going to be at Yoshi's coming up this Tuesday for Mardi Gras night. That's at 8 o'clock, only one show. We're going to find out now how Henry Clement got his name, Big Chief Takawaka, in the song from his CD. Big Chief Takawaka, and the CD is Henry Clement and Gumbo. And here it is, folks, right from the man himself.
Chicago Walker. Big, big, big Chicago Walker. Me like Minnie Squall. Big, big, big Chicago Walker. Look at food and the songs she made. I love the lighter ladies as much as I can. I'm not like Jack and Jill. When I go up that hill, I keep my fill. A sweet tea, a big tea, Taco Waka. Me big tea, Taco Waka. A big tea, a big tea, Taco Waka. Me big tea. A big tea, a big tea, Taco Waka. Swamp doctor, me have many feathers, me many squawks, me not like brave, one feather, many feathers, me make whooping, many squawks, big chief. Waka, 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 waka. I'm gonna cross that river to find a girl that I really love. That girl I really love live on the other side of town. I really, really never understood why she put me down. I'm across that river to find a girl that I love. Yes, I love her. sweetest one in this whole wide world.
That's the Gumbo Band, Crossing the River. Henry Clement and the Gumbo Band off their CD, Henry Clement and Gumbo. And that was Cross That River and Big Chief Takawaka. And Cross That River, we talked about the Takawaka part, but Crossing That River, what river were you referring to? The one in New Orleans?
Oh, yeah, we talking about the Mississippi River out of New Orleans just during that time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had a pretty good mix of friends that lived in Algiers.
Oh, which is across the river.
It's still
part of New Orleans, but it's
across the river.
Yeah, and that's the part of New Orleans that didn't flood during Katrina because it's a little higher.
Because it's up a higher ground.
Right, right, right.
Now, you know, in Algiers, where my son lived, you can see the boats because the river is above the city on that side.
Mm-hmm.
So when the boat passed, you have to look up to see the boats. Which is kind of funny, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why. And then Algiers, if the levee would have busted in Algiers, it would have been all over. So,
Algiers would have been just like the rest of the city.
Oh, yeah, but that particular part of New Orleans was saved.
Thank goodness, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Big Chief Takawaka, he will be at Henry Clement and the Gumbo Band, otherwise known as Big Chief Takawaka, will be at Yoshi's this Tuesday. That's Mardi Gras Day. That's the 21st of February, the day before Ash Wednesday. He'll be at Yoshi's in Oakland Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, one show. He's going to do the second line and all of it in full costume, full Indian parade costume. And if you've never seen it, you've got to check it out, folks. It's amazing. Now, I'm looking at another CD here, Henry. And this CD is Barbecuing in the Front Yard?
Barbecuing in the Front Yard is correct.
And this, you've cut all your stuff down in Crowley, but you've released most of these while living out here in California.
Right, but everything came out of Crowley because that's where one of the best studios that I've ever worked in was in Crowley, Louisiana.
It's still there?
Still there, right.
And is Jay Miller's son running it?
Well, Jay Miller died approximately 5, 6, 7 years ago, and then his sons are now in charge. But they kind of, you know, they kind of moved over to a different style of music, you know, doing their own thing. You know, most of the young generation have gone to what they call, I don't, the hip-hop or whatever you might call it, but they do their own thing. And so the older generation, like the old soldiers, like myself, you know, we kind of on the back burner.
I hear you. Well, and most of the guys from that generation are gone now, too.
9 out of 10,
it's
right.
It's probably you and Lazy Lester, the only ones that are left.
Oh, Lazy and I had a great time down up in at the Crawdad Festival. We had a great time. He came down and joined me, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
And you guys knew each other back in the day, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. With Lightning Slim. Lightning Slim came out of Baton Rouge. And when he came to Crawdad to record, his harmonica player was in Beaumont, Texas, got put in jail and couldn't make the recording session.
Who did they call?
So during that time, I would stop by after school most of the time in Crowley, and Jay Miller said, Henry, we need a harmonica player. He said, I don't have one because Wild Bill so-and-so came out of Beaumont, and he's in jail, and we can't get him out of jail, so you're going to have to play the harmonica. I said, Mr. Miller, I do not know how to play an harmonica. He said, you're going to play one tomorrow. That's the story.
So you went home and learned it.
Yeah, so I went over and took the harmonica, practiced overnight, came back and recorded the next day.
Man.
And it was very amazing and ironic that, you know, I did the whole thing the first 2 or 3 times on harmonica with Lightning Slim.
Which one is that?
Well, the one that we did is going back to New Orleans. And just about all of Lightning songs before Lazy Lester. Lazy Lester came up later after I was in school so much. And Lazy told Mr. Jay Miller that, hey, let me try to learn how to play this thing because Henry's in school all the time. And so that's how it came about.
That's amazing.
Going to New Orleans and all these other tunes with Lightning Slim. Slim Harpo and all those guys. Well, I was playing a harmonica on most of those.
Really?
Yeah, with Slim Harpo.
That wasn't Slim Harpo playing on his own
records? Well, some of them, and during that time. I'm talking back in the 50s now.
So you knew Slim, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the harmonica.
He was a wildcat, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. The guys were Slim.
Now, let's talk about this barbecuing in the front yard. That's kind of a tradition, barbecuing down in New Orleans. Huh?
Well, what happened here, man, one summer. See, I usually go to Crowley during the Christmas season and during the summertime, like July and August.
Oh, man, it's hot down there.
Well, we don't worry about the heat. I'm hot.
All right.
That's why they call me Taco Walker, because I'm hot. Well, my brother and I was riding around the city one day, and I said, Willie, why everybody have that barbecue pit in the front yard? I said, don't you barbecue in the back? Because we used to fix up the back and fix the patio up.
Yeah, a little privacy.
The patio was always in the back, man.
Yeah.
And get the barrel, and you cut the barrel in half, you know, and then you made a pit out of it, and you kept it in the back. I said, man, you don't do that no more. Everybody put the barbecue pit in the front yard so the smoke would just, the aroma would go out in the streets, and the people would stop by and continue the festivities.
Uh-huh.
So you had to put it on the gallery.
What's a gallery?
Oh, come on. Come on, bud, man. The gallery is the front porch, man.
Oh, okay. Well, they don't call it that out here now.
So they put the pit on the gallery.
Okay.
Okay. Not in the backyard, in the front yard.
On the gallery.
On the gallery.
That's barbecuing in the front yard, and that's the name of that CD, too.
That's it, man. I had to do it. I said, well, look, and here is the barbecue pit that was in the front yard.
Wow. It's a smoker. It's a 50-gallon drum barrel smoker.
That's right.
On wheels.
On wheels.
Well, let's hear it then. You wrote the song. Yeah. You're gonna play this on Tuesday night?
Oh, of course. And I would like to dedicate most of this to my tenor saxophone player who died last year in January, February, Don Briggs. He and I grew up together. During our childhood days, we learned how to play music together. And Don did all the tenor saxophone parts on just about all of my records. And I would like to dedicate this particular interview to Don Briggs.
This is for you, Don.
Hey, Fred, man, I'm telling you the truth. I don't know what's going on with the kids today, man.
Well, what it is, man?
Man, I was coming from school, and I saw the kids down the street all upset, man, I'm telling you. Furious.
Well, what's up, homie? What's up?
I didn't know what he was talking about. He came. Sup? That was hotter than his little girlfriend, man. Talking about, sup? I don't know. Tell me what's going on,
well,
man.
Well, like what it is, homie. What it is.
Oh, that's what it is?
What's up?
Man, the cat was, this is what he was doing. You know, he was telling his girlfriend. He said, look here, baby. Hey, friend.
What you gonna do today, man? Oh, I don't know, man. Let's set up a backyard barbecue, man.
Backyard barbecue? You don't do that no more, man.
Come on, man.
That's old school.
Say what?
They barbecue in the front yard.
Front yard barbecue?
Front yard, man. That's where they do that now, man. On the front porch.
Okay, then.
We gonna call Brian and Eric over. Tell them come on down from New Orleans.
Yeah, all they have to do is hit I-10 and come on down to Crowley.
Come over. Come over, you're barbecuing in the front yard. Come over,
front yard, man.
Okay, front yard.
You're barbecuing in the front yard. Come over, you're barbecuing in the front yard. Come over, you're barbecuing in the front yard. Come over.
minute, that's it.
We got it, we got it.
Barbecuing in the front yard, come on.
Pump it up here.
This is Henry Clement Live. Henry, say a few words.
Yeah, look here. You know, it's a funny thing about the lady folks in the world.
What?
All you have to say is meet me at the bank and they coming.
Really?
Because what? Got a whole lot of money.
I see.
And what do you think? Men love, you know, a lot of sex and love and to reminisce.
Yeah.
And women love what?
Money.
And what's number two? Shopping, man.
Oh, yeah.
Shopping. Women love money and shopping. And
that's right. That's right. You going to blow something?
Yeah.
Come on. Get up close,
okay,
Henry.
I'm going to get the solo, man.
All right. Henry's going to get the solo.
I'm telling you.
Because the last time you and I were together.
And that's a true song. That's a very true song.
And you wrote these words.
Everyone
was true.
See that? Now listen to that harmony in the back. Don Briggs.
Oh, that's Don?
Don and Brian Clement, a couple others in the background.
People say you have a whole lot
pretty?
Of lovers.
That's old school.
Sure is.
And that I can see.
That's the way we're going to do it, Don and Yoshi.
There you go.
Old school style.
Fat Tuesday style.
Third man, you need to try to make it down there.
I'm gonna come down in full regalia.
There's no way in devil's hell that you can love all of them.
Hey, bud, look here. I just happen to have one of my
Mississippi saxophone.
Yeah, I got my instrument here.
All right.
My mouth organ.
All right.
That's all right.
Blow some, baby. Yeah, baby, blow it. Yeah, big cheese. Blow it. Henry Clement, Big Cheap Takawaka.
Remember the first time we met?
Oh, yes, indeed, I remember.
We got down.
We got what?
Down.
We got what?
Down.
Now, I'm going to say this again. You have to pay attention, you know. Especially when you're making
remember
love and holding your lady. You say, baby, remember the first time we met? We got what?
We got down.
Uh-huh. Yes.
The two of us had so much fun.
We had some fun.
We could have painted the whole doggone town.
All right.
Indeed, when you're the only rooster on the yard, if you've been down in the bayou, everybody in the bayou had chickens, man.
Yeah.
But you couldn't have a one rooster. If you had two, it was chaos. That's just like, you see this cap I have on, I have one feather, right?
Yeah.
That means one chief in the teepee. Two chiefs, the same teepee, make bad powwow. You understand that?
It's like too many cooks going to spoil the stew, right?
Spoil the soup every time. So he said, one rooster. On the yard.
Big Chief Taco Walker.
You need to see me. Don't let your head be so hard. Don't let your head be so hard. Don't let your head be so hard. I'm the only rooster on the yard.
Has been a more than an hour visit with Oakland's own Henry Clement, Big Chief Takawaka. Big Chief, I want to thank you so much for coming in and spending time with us. We're going to meet you down to Mardi Gras on Tuesday night. If folks want to get a hold of you, Big Chief, how can they?
Oh, the best way to do it is to give me a call on the cell phone.
Okay.
510-816-8423, 510-816-4423. I'll give me a call on my office phone, 510-839-9623, 839-9623. Give me a call. We'll be waiting for you because we're going to party down at Yosha's. We're going to get down, down, down. Dedicate that to my homeboy who passed and left us in last January, Don Briggs, saxophone player. We're going to let him take us on out of here on this tune, Party Time.
All right. Thank you, Henry Clement, and we'll see you Tuesday night at Yoshi's. Happy Mardi Gras, baby.
You got it.
Bon Temps Roulet.
Get out.
I wanna have some fun. Say, come on, baby, we gonna party tonight. I met a girl down at the Champs Club. Say, get on down, we gonna have some fun.